Chag Yitzchak on Purim. We're up to Inyan Tesvav, and we're going to talk about Purim and Shushan Purim. The Yushalmi explains, and this you'll find in the first parak, first halacha of the Yushalmi, that the reason for Shushan Purim is kidei lachlok kavod li Eretz Yisrael. They establish Shushan Purim for the walled cities. The Choma was from Yemos Yoshua ben Nun, and that was for the kavod of Eretz Yisrael. And this needs explanation. Shushan itself was not Mukefes Choma. So then what sense does it make to single out the kavod of Eretz Yisrael for this celebration of Shushan Purim, if Shushan Purim itself does not fit into this category of an Ir Mukefes Choma Yemos Yoshua ben Nun? So what's the relationship between Shushan Purim and this concept of Lachlo Kavod Li Eretz Yisrael? A very fundamental question. We go on and we ask the following question. The first battle against Amalek during the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, when Moshe appointed Yoshua to battle against Amalek, this was after Amalek took the initiative and attacked us, and then we went out to attack them. This is in Shmos Perek Yud Zayin, and the Yerushalmi that we mentioned before, we said is in the first Perek of Megillah, and the Rambam codifies this Yerushalmi in the first Perek of Megillah, Halacha Hey, and if you'll have a chance, you'll look in the Magid Mishnah there. But getting back to Melchemes Amalek, and the first milchama against Amalek at the time of Yoshua. The second milchama against Amalek was in the time of Shaul. And that's in Shmuel Aleph Perek Tesvav. And in that case, we initiated, Klal Yisrael initiated the battle against Amalek. When we get to Purim, which is the third major battle against Amalek, and the entire essence of the day and its sanctity is connected to this milchama against Amalek. And you'll see this, of course, throughout the Megillah, that Haman is Mizera Amalek, and we are going to battle against Amalek. Bal Korcho Sheyichlol Besocho Shnei Ofanim Alolu. As the third battle, this is going to combine and integrate the two other, if you'd call them types or categories of Melchemes Amalek. On the one hand, it's going to be Amalek that takes the initiative. On the other hand, it's going to be Klal Yisrael that takes the initiative. It's both together at the same time. This is the deeper meaning of the division of Purim into 2 days, Yudalid B'Adar, and in addition, Tesvav B'Adar. On the 14th, Amalek attacks us. And this was the date that was designated by Haman, Bikesh, Lahashmid, Laharog, Uliabed. Of course, described towards the beginning of the Megillah. And Haman designated Yudalit as the day in which Amalek would attack Klal Yisrael. However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought about a miracle, and we achieved Menucha. The Pasuk says that it was Noach Me'ayvehem. And when was that? That was on the 15th. Oz Anachdu Yotzim Olav Milchama. The 15th of Adar is the day in which we, Klal Yisrael, take the initiative to fight the battle against Amalek. We ask for an extra day to take revenge against our enemies, even though at that particular point in history, it's no longer Lamed al Nafsham, it's no longer defensive, as the Pasuk says in the 8th Perek of Esther, but rather, when Esther asks in the 9th Perek for one extra daily Noke Me'ayvehem, even though, again, on a defensive level, there's no need for that extra day, this becomes an offensive war, and Klal Yisrael take the initiative. That's the 15th. And therefore the day of Purim, or shall we say the 2 days of Purim, which is really one day, the sanctity of Purim, the Zman of Purim, of Yudalin and Tesvav and Ador, combines these two types, these two categories of Milchama Bamolek. And if we take a look in the Chumash, of course in this case Parshas Ki Seitze, the mitzvah of Milchemes Amolek, the Torah says the following: V'hoya biniach, when Hashem will give you rest from all your enemies misaviv that surround you, then timche es zecher Amolek, you're commanded to go out to battle. It seems clearly that from the perspective of the mitzvah of the Torah, there are two stages. Stage number one is Asher Karcha Baderech. We're on the road, and Amalek attacks us. And that's when Hashem commands us to fight back. That was the first Bulcham of Moshe. And then, the second stage is Vaya Beiniach. This is a matzav, a period of time of Vaya Beiniach. And here's where we take the initiative, and that corresponds to the situation of Tesvav. So whereas Yudalid is Baderech, when they attack us, Haman designates the 14th for the destruction of the Jewish people. Now we get to the 15th, which parallels Vaya Biniach, and in the Lashon of Megillas Esther is V'noach Me'oyveihem. That's when we ask for the 15th to go out to battle against them. So they come against us on the 14th, we go out to battle against them on the 15th. When we find ourselves in that situation of V'hoya Beiniach, or in the language of Megillas Esther, V'noach Me'oyveihem, that's when we take the initiative to attack them, to take revenge against them. They have such a powerful opposition against us. Hisnagdus atzmusis. There's something about the essence of Amalek which is so antithetical to Klal Yisrael. And that's the battle of the 14th. Because Amalek can't tolerate us. However, the second type, which is the battle against Amalek of Tesvav, that's already under the category of V'noach Me'oyveihem. V'noach Me'oyveihem really represents, in a sense, the interruption or the middle stage that wedges between Yudalid, which is when they take the initiative, and Tesvav, when we take the initiative. In between is that situation of V'noach Me'oyveihem. Our obligation to battle against Amalek really emerges from the moment that Yoshua ben Nun conquers Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara establishes in Sanhedrin Chaf Amid Beis Shalosh Mitzvos Nitztavu B'Knisosam La'aretz. And the first on the list is Lahachris Zaro Shel Amalek. Therefore, This Kedushas Hazman, the sanctity of Purim, is singled out for the Tesvav day, what we call Shushan Purim, in order to connect us with the Kibush of Yoshua ben Nun. The Kibush, the conquest of Eretz Yisrael at the hands of Yoshua ben Nun, is the initiative of Klal Yisrael. And the sanctity of Tesvav, in the framework of the sanctified battle for the mitzvah of Amalek, when we go out against them, that obligation emerges at the moment of Kibush Yoshua ben Nun. Because just as in Kibush Yoshua ben Nun, Klal Yisrael go out to battle, they take the initiative, so too on Tesvav, after Noach Me'oyveihem, we, Klal Yisrael, take the initiative to battle against Amalek. So there's a direct correspondence, a mirror image between Kibush Yehoshua v'Eretz Yisrael and the Melchama of the test of the day of Tesvav against Amalek. And this is the concept of Kvodo Shel Eretz Yisrael. What the concept of Kvodo Shel Eretz Yisrael gives us, Hechnisa L'Tocha Mechayevesi Es Krisas Zera Shel Amalek. The Kavod of Eretz Yisrael, which means Yehoshua Ben Nun, that introduces a new obligation, an obligation of a whole different dimension and description of destroying the offspring of Amalek. That's the deeper meaning of the Yushalmi, Kidei Lachlo, Kavod L'Eretz Yisrael. They establish the Moed of Shushan Purim on Tesvav, the Purim of Mukafim, Mukafim Imos Yehoshua Ben Nun, to connect that day of Melchemes Amalek and that sanctified mitzvah of Mechias Amalek, of Melchemes Amalek, of Tesvav, and that category after Venoch Me'vehem, with Yehoshua's Kibush of Eretz Yisrael. We continue now with Inyan Tes Zayin, and we begin by quoting a halachan Shulchan Aruch, or Chaim Simon Tafresh Sadi Dalid, Sivkot and Gimel, Siv Gimel, Bipurim Kol Aposhet Yad Nosnim Lo. There's a unique halacha on Purim that anyone who puts his hand out asking for a contribution, we give without hesitation. And there's a special chiddush to this statement, to this formulation, both with regard to the giver and with regard to the receiver. The giver, the nosein, the donor, gives without checking out the credentials of the recipient. Is the recipient really suitable? Is he checked out? Does he really have a genuine need? And there's also a halacha here of the makabel, of the recipient, that the recipient has the right to present himself as a bona fide recipient, and that would apply even if he knows that he's not so deserved of receiving these funds. In the language of the Pachad Yitzchak, afal pishu yodea benafsho shekabola zu eino ru'uyalo. And that's a big chiddush. And all this, according to the Pachad Yitzchak, inheres in the halacha of Bipurim kol aposhet yad nosnim lo. And the explanation is what follows. The Torah tells us in Parshas Yisro, in the Aser Sedibros lo signov. And if we analyze lo signov in the Aser Sedibros, there's something called a tam mafsik on the word lo. And this is something that appears in the statement of Chachamim to explain this hefsik, this tam mafsik on the word lo. It comes to teach us, and this is a yalkut, it says Kisharole Leinish Lignuve Daite Dirabi, that although in general a person is not allowed to be Gonev Das, he's not allowed to mislead someone, that also comes under Lo Signov, it's called Gnevas Das. But nevertheless, there is a situation in which a Talmud, a student, is allowed to mislead his Rebbe. What does that mean? Laharos es atzmo b'enei harav b'tzir yoser nalam yasheru b'emes. If he has to present to his Rebbe an image of having achieved more than he really achieved in learning, and for what goal, for what purpose? B'chdei shal yidei kach yashpia lo harav divrei tori yoser nalim mikvi erech madrigoso emes. The Tam Mafsik, that sign in the Chumash, that tells you, again, Al Pi Mesora, that after the word lo, you interrupt, there's something that sort of pulls back, it's a limitation of the word lo in lo signov, means that there's a heter of Gnevas Das for the Talmud to try to get the maximum from his Rebbe. It means that his Rebbe should teach him on the highest level. And here the Talmud could present himself as if he is on that level when in fact he really isn't. And what we want to analyze here is if there is such a heter, if there's such a leniency in the way that the Talmud behaves towards his Rebbe, we have to find some sort of parallel example or paradigm of such a leniency with regard to a person's relationship to Shamayim, to the heavens. Where do we find a parallel corresponding heter in which a person vis-a-vis Shamayim can also misrepresent himself? And the underlying basis for this analogy between our relationship to our Rebbe as a Talmud and our relationship to Shamayim is the Mishnah, the statement of the Mishnah in Avos, in the fourth Perek, Mora Rabcha Kimora Shamayim. One's reverence for his Rebbe is parallel to his reverence for Kaviyachol, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there must have been some sort of heter allowing, permitting a person in his relationship to Mora Shamayim to misrepresent himself. Otherwise it would be impossible to find a similar heter with regard to his relationship in the context of Mora Rabcha. So where do we find, how can we discover and define some sort of a heter on Haga, a permissibility in our relationship to Yerushamayim that would be similar to this Gnevas Das that we find with regard to Mora Rabcha? And the Pachad Yitzchak writes the following: Heter ze over hu derech ha'anocha ki achitzonius ma'oreres es ha'pnimius ubechein anu omrim ki lefamim shapir lo lo'adim l'hamen es atzom v'chitzoniuso l'mayla mimadregas pnimiuso b'chtei la'or al yedei kach es hagbo'as pnimiuso v'sromimuso. So first we'll present this idea on a very abstract level. A human being is made up, of course, of chitzonius, externalities, and pnimius, the more internal, substantive, and genuine self that's concealed. With regard to the interaction between the two, the relationship between externalities and pnimius, we would say that in certain situations, it's absolutely acceptable for a person to present himself bechitzonius on a level that is not at all indicative of where he's holding and what Madregi's achieved in pnimius. And the reason for this heter, the reason why it's allowed, is because he wants to stimulate in this way what's called hagbas pnimiuso. He will show himself on the outside to be on a higher level and hope that that's going to drag his pnimius in a movement of ascension and inspire it to higher levels. Normally we have a principle of tocho kibaro. A person should show on the outside, kibaro, what he is on the inside. It's supposed to be a genuine, honest reflection of what he is in pnimius. And the Gemara in Brachos is not happy with someone who's ein tocho kibaro, who tries to fool us by showing on the outside as if he's on a higher level. And if it's ein tocho kibaro, it's a form, it's an expression of Gnevas Das, of misrepresenting himself. However, although that's true as a general rule, there seems to be a very fundamental exception to that rule, that a person could actually implement what we would call the attribute of Gnevas Das, to misrepresent himself for the purpose of rising to a higher level in Torah and Avoda. And that's similar to the Hefsek, the Tama Hefsek that we spoke about in the word Lo with regard to Lo Signov. Now what we want to refer to now is the Parsha of Forbidden Foods, which is in Vayikra Yud Aleph. And the Gemara talks about Behemos, Behemos Tmeos, and Behemos Ksheros. And of course, the outstanding example of Behemot Tmea is the Chazir. Now the Chazir, the pig, is considered by the Medrash Rabbah in Vayikra as a code word for Malchus Roman, for the kingship of Rome. And the Chazir, of course, has split hooves but doesn't rechew its cud and presents its hooves as if it were a kosher animal, but it's ein tochu kabaro. It's all misrepresentation. It's all Gnevas Das. And the Chazir is a representation of Malchus Romi on many different levels, in terms of Esav and who he was and how he misrepresented himself to his father Yitzchak. But if you take a look in the Medrash in Koheles Rabbah, Chazal say, "Mipnei shasida lahachzir malchus li Yisrael," which is very interesting. That Malchus Romi is compared to the Chazir because down the line in the future, it meaning Malchus Romi, the kingship of Romi, will return the kingship to Israel. And at the face of it, this is a very paradoxical statement. He says, "Lefi ze kol shaychu shel Malchus Romi hi rak lishmo shel abal chay hazeh v'ein ze nogea klal legufa shel behema zu." What is the connection between the fact that at the end of days, Malchus Romi will return the kingship to Israel, to Israel, and the comparison between Malchus Romi and the Chazir? And the answer to this is Chazinim Yizeh, the Shem Zeshel Chazir Misparishu al Shem Mahusa Shel Behemazu, V'lo Od El Shemuchach Mizeh, Ki Osa Mahusa Shemimene Novea Shem Chazir Hihi HaMahusa Shemitocha Mischayev Inyan Akzoras HaMalchus Yisrael Ayidei Malchus Romi. That paradoxically, the essence of this animal is such that it is the source for the, I would say, the obligation or the what has to become a reality, namely the return of the kingship to Israel through Malchus Romi. And of course, these are deep ideas that perhaps go beyond our comprehension. And the Pachad Yitzchak presents here an amazing thesis. And again, we'd have to take it under advisement. And he says that one of the deeper dimensions of this whole comparison between Malchus Romi and the Chazir is that Malchus Romi, deep down, and this is all based on Esav, as we'll soon see, has a tendency to imitate Klal Yisrael. And it's very parnosa, so to speak. It's very sustenance, a life force, as an entity, as a kingship, is generated or comes from the similarity and the imitation that it imitates Klal Yisrael. It's all an imitation. It's all a misrepresentation. We see this, for example, in the case of Esav, the father of Romi, when he goes out to hunt, and then he comes back and he asks his father all sorts of questions. Ketzed ma'asrin es ha-teven, ketzed ma'asrin es ha-melech, et ha-melach. And this is all statements of the Medrash. Rashi quotes some of them in Chumash, in Breishis Chaf Hei. And basically what Esav is trying to do is he's trying to imitate Yaakov Avinu in order to present to his father an image that he is some sort of, you know, spiritual, potentially spiritual giant. And in that sense, Esav is like the Chazir, because the Chazir spreads out its tlufim, its hooves. And this is the Medrash Rabbah in Parsha Shmini, in the Parsha of Behemoth Tmeos. And by extending and displaying its hooves, it's really trying to show its similarity to Tara, to a pure kosher animal. And that's what's inherent in this act of the Chazir to spread out its hooves. And really what it wants to do is it wants to conceal the fact that it has a Siman Tuma, and the fact that it's not, internally, it's not a Mali Gera. So it tries to cover that up, the absence of a Mali Gera, and by covering that, by concealing that, it the essence of the animal is to conceal that which it really is, in this case Tuma, and try to show itself on the outside as Tara. And that's what the name or the essence of the Chazir is all about. The essence of this animal is its will to show itself up and display itself as a kosher animal, as an animal that kaviyochol is machziris mizona l'toch piv, meaning it's a maligera, as if it really takes its cut and rechews it. And this is its desire, ultimately, to be similar to Tara, to really take on Tara. And when we compare this to Malchus Romi, we would say that by comparison between Malchus Romi and Esav, its parent, the Chazir is really the symbol or the sod. It really reveals the essence of what Romi is about, because Romi really is a Malchus that gets its essence from imitating Klal Yisrael. It's concealing its Tuma, and it shows itself up on the outside as Tara, as similar to Klal Yisrael. And that's why Chazal received, I guess, in their tradition, that Malchus, which the Parnasa, meaning the sustenance of which comes from its similarity to Israel, is the last of the Malchios, or the four Malchios. That's Malchus Romi. And therefore the name Chazir, on a deeper level, really indicates, with regard to Romi, that the kingship will be returned to Israel. Since the deeper meaning of the Chazir, and that name with regard to Romi, is the very tight connection and the reflection on the outside, manifestation of a similarity to Tara, this attempt at imitating Tara really points a finger that at the end of the days, when Shivat Malchus will finally terminate, we will finally get back to the real true representation, which is called Achzaras Malchus LiYisrael, in which finally the Chazir will be identified for what it really is, that she, in her very essence, represents a concealment of the Siman Tuma, and the one Siman Tara is just an attempt to misrepresent and try to show herself to be like a kosher animal. And therefore the name of this Balas Chai is the Chazir. And the word Chazir probably comes from the source, or the Pachad Yisrael doesn't spell this out, but I think he means to hint at the fact that it comes from Chazar, to return. So in a sense, the very lifeblood of this animal ultimately will lead to a restoration of what is true about its essence, when its essence, its internal lack of Mali Gera, will be revealed, And that represents Hachzoras Malchus Yisrael, because up until Hachzoras Malchus Yisrael, the Malchus Romi as a Chazir is really just showing its hooves and misrepresenting itself, trying as it will to imitate Klal Yisrael and Malchus Yisrael. So that when we talk about the Akhris HaYomim and the termination of Shibud Malchus, what we're talking about is Hachzoras Kol Kochos Achiyu Shal Malchus Chazir Shulton HaKedusha. All the powers of Tahara that are inherent in this Balas Chai, this Chazir, and in the Malchus of Romi, which is the outward manifestation of the Chazir, the representation in this world of Chazir, all those powers which have potential for Kedusha, so far it does have one Siman Tahara, and that is the Mafesis Parsa, all that will be returned. And it will be turned to the sovereign rulership of Kedusha, where it should belong, where it really belongs. So what we get out of this is, the final bottom line is that this Malchus called Romi is called by a name that really indicates its whole mahalach, its whole approach of trying to imitate the Malchus of Yisrael. And if we want to translate this kind of imitation process into the language of Midos, what does it reflect in terms of behavior pattern? This is what we would call hypocrisy. This is what we call tzvi'ut, which means to show a certain color on the outside, which really conceals the true inner color of an entity. And this midah of hypocrisy, of tzvi'ut, with regard to the tumah, with regard to the forces that are antithetical to the reign and the sovereign rulership of Kedusha, that's what this tzvi'us is. And Pachad Yitzchak says, Yotzei miza osa tzvius haklula by hefseg shel tevas lo bedivras lo signo. So the chazara process of chazir, as we said before, the restoration, is this entire approach of taking the tumah and bringing it back into the all those powers to be controlled by Kedusha, and whatever Kedusha is in there to add to the strength of the Kedusha, that it turns out that there is, in this process of hypocrisy, at the end of the day, a certain parallel or reflection of the tama hefsek of lo, that just like we said, it's okay for a Talmud to misrepresent himself to his Rebbe and to show himself as if he's on a much higher level, and that's for the purpose, the goal of his Rebbe teaching him more, so that his Rebbe will have more of an impact on him with Divrei Torah on a higher level that will uplift him, is that's what it's all about. And this chazara means that whatever deficiency is in the Talmud, that now becomes, in a sense, a stepping stone on the way to a higher level of Kedusha. So the paradox is that just like we said, that in a strange sort of way, the tumah of the chazir, in the case of Romi, ultimately, at the end of days, will lead to a final process of Hachzoras HaKochos, the Chiyus of Chazir, will lead to the Hachzoras HaKochos to Shulton HaKedusha. It's all part of a positive Mahalach. So too, in this misrepresentation, this Tzvius, this hypocrisy, so to speak, of the Talmud, that is legitimized by the Hefsek in the word Lo, there is an ultimate process of Hachzoras HaKedusha, Shulton HaKedusha. And it's all good. And Purim is really the day in which there's a chius, there's a lifeblood, so to speak, of Malchus HaChazir, in which the Chazir returns all its kochos of that Malchus, meaning the Malchus of Romi, to Kedusha. And that's the defeat of Romi in the Ness of Purim. And that sheds a light on the midah of Tzvius. A Tzvius not in a negative sense, but a Tzvius of Kedusha. We're using that very same midah of Tzvius for a process of Hachzor L'Kedusha. Just like in the case of the Chazir, ultimately, the ultimate Chiyus is the Hachzorah at the end of time of that Tzvius of the Chazir, the hypocrisy of the Chazir to Kedusha. And therefore, on Purim, there's a special halacha of Kol HaPoshe Yado Noslim Lo, which means that a person, the recipient, has the right, even though he's Ein Tochu Kibaro, to present himself in a different way, as if he really genuinely deserved to be the recipient. So too, on Purim, which represents the day of Hachzoras Malchus the Yisrael, of the Chiyus of Chazir to return the Chazir to it from Tuma to Kedusha, therefore we have no fear of Ein Tocho Kibaro, that representation of Tzvius, of Gnevas Das, which is the Chazir of Ein Tocho Kibaro, doesn't, you know, we're not shying away from it on this day of Purim. Anu ma'amidim al panenu givun shal mekabel amiti v'ininu poshtim es yodenu l'chol l'chol mini kabol v'bli shum b'dika ima kabol azui l'fir kenu gon v'im anu es datenim shal arav kidei sheyashpi olenu hagbov v'asrom muslimalim erkenu ki ken yisen amelech malko shalom v'yom zeh kol haposhet yad nosnim lo. So the glory and the uniqueness of Purim, which singles it out as a special day of sanctity, is that the recipient is permitted to extend his arm to receive the Kabbalos without any investigation. Nobody's going to check him out whether or not his Kabbalah is really suitable according to his level, what he is. And that symbolizes the Talmud who comes to his Rebbe and he wants to get from his Rebbe an impact on a higher level to uplift him even beyond really where he's holding in truth. He's Ein Toch Kibaro, but that's the nature of Purim, because the Mahalach of Purim is Hachzoras Malchus Yisrael, to take the Chazir, to take the Malchus Romi, to take that level of Tuma and return it to Kedusha. That's what the Malko Shel Olam, the King of Kings, the Almighty, established as the essence and the foundation of this day, Kol HaPoshet Yad Noslim.
Stop here.